You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 260, just nine away. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we're here not to talk Leaf hockey. We're going to talk Team Canada in the Four Nations face-off.
Look at this. Anybody watching on YouTube, we're all decked out in some new Canada graphics. How about that? For four games only, or four podcasts only, or maybe not. Maybe three, depending That's on right. how this... Depending on how this baby shakes out. But here
also,
we are.
If you're watching on YouTube, I'm in the middle of changing things around. So don't worry about my background.
He's in the middle. He had to stop his workout mid.
I had to stop. That's actually, if you see the treadmill and everything, that's actually all my wife's stuff. That ain't me.
Looks like
it. No, it's a treadmill.
Okay. Anyway, I think Chad just like, he's got his little Mitch Buchanan shorts on. He had to stop. Yeah, it's just like the red screen. Like,
what was the song to Baywatch?
Oh, I don't know, man. But those little Mitch Buchanan, I think Mitch had those little Mitch Buchanans on last night when he popped it in overtime. But Chad, Ooh. Just if he lowered his camera down, you'd see the little red Mitchies down there. But let's not scare anybody away. So let's not scare anyone
okay,
away.
All right. I was going to show everybody.
Let's keep it clean and smooth here. And clean. But I'll tell you what, man, a couple things here. That was absolutely insane last night, completely insane. A lot of things to get to here, obviously. Mitch Marner won't be the star of this show, but he did score the OT winner to lift Canada over Sweden 4-3 in game one of the Four Nations face-off. Good for you, little Mitchie. Rumor has it, he had those little Mitch Buchanans cooking underneath the gear last night. Like, did someone lead him to that? I think maybe Sid said, Mitch, here's the deal.
You want to be one of the best?
Yes.
And then he just pulled down his pants and was like, you got to have these on. And then MacKinnon did it, and McCarr did it, and they all had them on.
Big time.
That's how it works.
Big time. So when he, look, dude, what a game.
Not 2019 Baywatch. Shorts.
Oh,
we're
God.
Talking no,
like not early
1988 to 1994.
Early '90s. Mitch Buchanan just running up and down that beach, saving
Hasselhoff, baby,
saving lives, hammering chicks, and eating cheeseburgers drunk out of his face. Right,
that's one of the best videos ever.
Oh, Mitch Buchanan. Anyway, just Baywatch. So many hot chicks in that show. Crazy, man. Anyway, like, what a game, right? What a game. Yeah. What are your initial thoughts? Like, I want to talk about, we're going to talk about Sid. We'll talk about Mitch, McDavid, MacKinnon. I got a couple other things, surprises for you. We'll talk about the goaltending. What do you think off the top? If it's Sid, I want to play something if it's Sid first.
Just general. I was very impressed by the level of competition in that game. I was on the edge of my seat. Pretty much the whole game. Like, honestly, I didn't know. We talked about it on the podcast. We didn't really know what to expect. We didn't know if this was going to be kind of like all-star game type thing where they're not going to be a lot of hitting. And it almost felt like Sweden kind of expected that. And Canada just came out like, like laying hits, blocking shots.
Yeah.
The speed of the game, unbelievable. I was very impressed. Very impressed by how the players brought it last night.
It was great, man. It was great. You want to go right to Sid?
Yeah.
Okay, because we got to do a saggy here because this was like, this was Sid the kid. This wasn't 37-year-old Sidney Crosby. So
38.
Whatever. So I think we got to go whale of a game here. What do you agree? I think Sid was that good. You want to throw to it?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for whale of a game.
Mike Taylor here, Chad Dale, whale of a game. Huge.
That voice you heard was our old baseball coach. And if you played a good game, he used to tell you, whale of a game.
Yeah, a little more than that, but he did say that too. But look, dude, for me, this is Sidney Crosby. He looked like he was just running the clock backwards, dude. Assisted on four Sorry, he assisted on three of the four goals scored, including the overtime winner. They were putting stats up today. I couldn't believe this. The last time Sid has laced him up for Canada, the last 26 times, they haven't lost. Did you see that stat today?
Yeah, he's undefeated as a captain of Team Canada.
Crazy. Like, in any fashion, like what Olympics,
World Juniors, that whatever they did, that tournament in 2016, I forget what it was called, the World Cup or.
Yep.
Anytime he's been the captain, they have not lost a game.
26-0 when Sid's been in the lineup for Canada. That to me is absolutely bananas. Speaking of the World Cup, see, they're bringing it back.
Yeah, it's coming back. It's going to be the 2-year opposite of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why didn't they just do that this year?
I don't know. And like, judging by the way everyone I was talking to today and like going online during the game, man, hockey fans have been deprived of this best on best. Why did Bettman not do something in the last 9 years?
It's crazy.
Why didn't he bring a World Cup or do something like this? Anything.
It's crazy to not have guys like McDavid and Matthews, and just look at the different, like, it's crazy.
There was a 3-on-1 in overtime last night where you had McKinnon, McDavid, and Makar coming down the ice on the same team.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous. Like, right a minute in, McDavid, who was the top power play? Sid, McDavid, and McKinnon. Bing, bang, boom. It's in the fucking net. One minute into the game, right? So
the only power play they got.
Crazy, crazy. But I'm just going to a little more on Sid, because I thought Sid was incredible. Like, he looked fucking incredible. This guy stuck in Pittsburgh for the remainder of his career, 2, 3, 4 years, however much longer he wants to play, would just be an absolute shame. You look at when he plays with the caliber of McKinnon or whoever, like, he's playing with, like, I don't expect him to go to Edmonton, although really he could go wherever the fuck they wanted, like, depending on where he wanted, depending on where, like, cap wise, like, there's any team going to refuse to make a deal work for Sidney Crosby? I fucking doubt it.
No,
but like, it would be, I'm thinking Colorado. Like, after this tournament's over, I know it's just one game, but do you not think Sid might get the itch to be like, yeah, it's pretty fucking fun winning again? And I'm not saying Canada's going to win here. A long ways to go.
But playing on a good team.
Well, dude, look how him and McKinnon looked. Like, they're like best friends. You wouldn't want to go. Like, he's at the team. He's done everything he can do in Pittsburgh. They're not winning another cup. He's just going to ride it out there, and that's it. And they're probably not going to make the playoffs the remainder of his time there. Why not go to Colorado, play with your best friend for 2 years, and try to fucking do it? Everybody does it. Aginla did it. Like, Nate Sundin did it. Fucking Alfredson. Like, everybody who's been long-time serving guys for their – like, I know not everybody has done it, but
– no, like, but a lot of guys, especially if you've done either you've done everything you've wanted to do in the city that you've played in forever, or you're like a Ray Bourque situation where you did everything you could in Boston, but you couldn't win a cup. Yeah. And they, at that time, they were nowhere close to winning a cup. So
I guess that is the main difference, though, because all those guys I just named, Sundin, Alfredson, Aginla,
they were looking for cup one.
They never got it. They never got it. Right. So they were going somewhere to try to get their first one. Sid, he's got three. So, like,
but at the same time, Pittsburgh fans would want to keep him, but he'd be doing a huge favor to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, huge.
Bring up cap space and whatever they got in return for Sidney Crosby.
Start the rebuild. Let's go. Trade Malkin, too. There's a blue and white team in Canada that could use that big monster 71. Sid can go to Colorado. We'll take Gino. Let's go for a playoff run. Like, fuck, let's try that one out for size. But I don't know.
We'll take Sid.
Well, I know.
Sid, Matthews, Tavares down the middle. Not bad.
It's just more likely that it would be McKinnon in Colorado. That's just where I see it, like, being.
Yeah, he would get the pick, too.
Of course. Of course. But just watching that last night and the way how good Sid looked, I'm like, holy fuck. Like, he can't do this with Pittsburgh. He can't do it.
And it's funny. They were talking, like, in the morning if he would even play. Or if he did play, like, would he be limited? Yeah, would he be limited to minutes? And would he play on the first power play? Because he hasn't played for Pittsburgh. He's been banged up. Then he comes out, Looks like fucking 2012 Sidney Crosby out there.
I just don't want to see him waste his remaining years in Sid, like, or in Pitt doing nothing. When he's still got that caliber of hockey in him, go and win another one. Yeah. Go and help he's your buddy. Go and help your best friend win another one. Yeah. I don't know. Do you agree with what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, watching him, he's such a treat to watch. Like, he's probably the most all-around player in the NHL. He can do everything. And yeah, he's kind of been drowning in Pittsburgh. No one's really talking about him. You don't really see highlights of him. If he went to a winning team, it'd be great for hockey. It'd be great for hockey fans. But in the end, it's up to Sid. Whatever he wants to do.
Okay.
But so, last night, he was awesome.
Whale of a game. Sidney Crosby. Hopefully he can keep it going. That OT was absolutely incredible. So they keep it 3-on-3 in overtime, but they go to a 10-minute overtime, and then it would go to a shootout after that. Marner wins it in OT. Awesome. It was awesome. That the overtime, before we go to Mitch, do you want to just talk about how incredible that fucking overtime was? Cause that was like end to end. Nylander almost won it. Like, there were several chances.
Binnington made a few big saves in overtime.
Gonna get to him. Gustafson made some monster saves too. So were you surprised to see Gustafson get the start for the Swedes over Allmark, or not really?
Well, Allmark's been so, like, he's been banged up this year.
Yeah.
So,
and Billy
Ottawa were happy. About that.
No, sorry. Ottawa, right? But anyway, I thought the crowd was awesome in Montreal. Like, get here, Marchant scored, Marner scored, like, Sid's getting cheered. Like, it's crazy. That just the most, you know, when it's the country, the Habs fans were just like, they were just loving it. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. It was so weird hearing the Montreal Canadiens, like, PA announcer announcing Brad Marchand as if he played for the Habs, right?
I know, getting into it.
Normally it would be like Boston goal scored by number 63, Brad Marchand, or whatever. But like last night when Marner won in overtime, the Bell Center announcer was like, overtime goal scored by number 16, Mitch Marner, like, just announcing it like he would like the home team. It was so weird hearing it, but so cool. But the overtime was awesome. Mitch gets the winner. Do you want to talk about the overtime before we talk a little bit more about Mitch?
Yeah, why can't the NHL do 10 minutes of 3-on-3?
You want to see that?
I mean, it's better than the shootout.
Yeah, but you're not going to see that caliber.
No, well, it's different when every fucking person who steps on the ice in overtime is one of the best players in the league.
Like, if they go to 10 minutes in the regular season, all you're going to see, and you saw a lot of drop passes last night in overtime too, but you're going to see in the zone drop pass, slow, like very slow. You're not going to see that.
There's more chances. There are more chances 3-on-3. I just think, like,
keep it out of the shootout.
How many overtimes you watch? You get to there. It's just up and down the ice, chance after chance. The puck is all over, changing teams. Because once you have possession, I mean, you basically have it until you get a chance when it's 3-on-3, and then it goes to the other team if they recover, and then it just ends, and we got to watch three players shoot, and it's over, like three players for each team, and then it's over. I'd like to see the 10 minutes, but that was, when it started, I was like, oh, I wish they did 5-on-5, like double IHF rules, but it was very exciting. The three on three for 10 minutes
with that. And like you said too, with that caliber of like talent on the ice, I was like, oh, buckle in for this. This is gonna
like
be
I said,
insane.
I couldn't even believe my eyes when MacKinnon came down with McDavid and Makar, and I'm like, is this real life? Like, and it was a 3-on-1. I was like, the poor Swedish defenseman.
Oh yeah,
it's just like the fuck. And then MacKinnon had McDavid wide open, and he shot it.
Yeah,
he did that a lot in overtime.
Yeah, well, MacKinnon, he's such a beast. Okay, we're gonna get into that, and we're gonna get
overtime is awesome.
We're gonna get more into Mitch Marner here right after this, but we've partnered with the Hockey Podcast Network. Chad, if you want to fire up the read, we'll come right back and we'll get more into Mitch Marner and a lot other things.
Listen, everybody, this NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action only at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win, or just go to the DraftKings Sports app, select your team, place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, hey, listen up. New customers bet $5, you can get up to $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code THPN, that's THPN for new customers, and get up to $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only at DraftKings, where the crown is yours.
Okay, so I just want to say, I had our old one on the screen there where it says you can bet, you can get up to 200 in bonus bets. So that's incorrect. So I'll have to switch that. So it's now 150.
Now 150.
Just wanted to correct that because I had the old one up there. But yeah, anyway, head over to DraftKings, start making your bets, and try to get some, win some money down the stretch here, home stretch of the hockey season. So back to Mitch here for a second. So you think that's the biggest goal that he has scored in his life?
It's got to be up there, yeah.
I think it is.
I can't remember if he scored any, like, huge goals in junior or world juniors, like a Memorial Cup winning a goal, okay, or a, yeah, medal winning.
I don't think he did win the Memorial Cup with the London Knights, but I don't think he scored like game winner. But
That's gotta be getting the pass from Sidney Crosby,
dude. Getting the pass from Sid, game one of the Four Nations. You're in a sold out Bell Center in Montreal. That's it, dude.
Oh, like, I had chills down my spine when Mitch scored.
That's it. But let me go here for take it a step further.
Yep.
Not only do I think that's the biggest goal that he's ever scored, but let's just take it back to the Leafs for a quick second here, considering this is a Leafs podcast. It doesn't look that way tonight, but it is. But what do you think that does for Mitch in terms of the playoffs, if anything, in regards to the Leafs? Do you like, I know it's just one goal. We'll see how the how the remainder of the tournament goes here. But do you think that gives him a boost? Do you think, like, he's already kind of a cocky, yes, little fuck anyway. So like he gets those little Mitch Buchanans on and you can't stop the guy, but that goal that he scored last night in overtime, we haven't seen that from him in the playoffs when he's playing for the Leafs. So what do you think that does anything for him confidence-wise, yeah, or what?
I think the whole tournament will do something for him, the goal especially. But I think if you watch last night, the tempo of that game was playoff hockey, and it's best on best. And he actually looked a little lost. Him and Reinhardt both, I thought, on McDavid's wing looked a little lost. But for him to get that goal, I think it's just come playoff time.
Feeling it out, though.
But still, I think come playoff time, if he performs well in this tournament, it's only going to, like, it's just going to be experience that he can use. Like, if you're in a game seven, which the Leafs have played awful in game seven, maybe Mitch can be like, you know what? When I was on Canada, I scored in overtime. I can do it here.
And maybe that's not the end of it for Mitch here. Like, let's see if he progresses throughout the tournament. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
This'll boost him.
I didn't think he had a great game. I didn't think he had a great game, but he came through in a big moment. And that's something that we haven't seen with the Leafs, where he's not had great games and he has not come through in a big timely moment either. Yeah. So here's a perfect example where he didn't have the best game, but he did come through in a big moment.
He pulled it off when it mattered.
So did you see what John Cooper had to say about him after the game?
No. What did Cooper? I saw Cooper, but I saw him talking about Crosby.
He was at, someone asked him about Mitch's game and just how he thought he played. And like, and basically what I just like kind of said about, like, do you think that that'll help him? Like when he goes back to the Leafs and all that. And Cooper was like, the kid's a hell of a player. Like he's already, he's got enough confidence that he believes in himself enough that like, he's capable of doing whatever he wants if he like puts his mind to it or whatever. But yeah. So anyway, he likes him. He liked his game, and he like Cooper's a fan. So we'll see. Anyway, it was Sid's night, I thought, but Mitch gets the winner, which is awesome. And I do hope that that does translate into well, fuck, success, him being successful in the playoffs, clutch would be nice, be nice. But a couple other quick things before we get to some other things to end it. McDavid and McKinnon, I'll give the floor to you on this one. Like, I thought they were both fucking beasts, man. Absolute fucking beasts, both of them. Just like, this McKinnon is a different fucking breed of dude, man. He's old school, man. He will do anything to fucking win. Anything.
He is he's the player that you create in a video game.
Oh,
when you're creating your build a career, that's what McKinnon is. He just fucking, he's hard on the puck. He's heavy. He's fast. He's got a hard shot.
Do you not love how much this guy wants to fucking win every time he's on the ice? All he wants to do is fucking win by any means necessary. He plays so fucking hard. And 97 wasn't too fucking shabby either. Oh, this guy was cooking.
That's what I'm saying. He made Reinhardt and Marner, who were playing on his wings, they kind of look lost out there because he came out like a bat out of hell, meatloaf.
Yeah.
He came out like a bat out of hell and was just fucking flying.
Yeah, he was. He really was. It was so impressive, man.
It was a big wake-up call for Marner and Reinhardt. They were just like, what the fuck do we do with this guy?
Well, not used to that, right? Like, neither one of those guys are used to that type of speed and that type of finesse. Like, it's not.
But that was McDavid. Even McDavid was playing on another level. Like, you could tell he was so amped to finally be playing on Team Canada. It was awesome. Like, last time he played on Team North America.
I know. And that was a long fucking time ago. Like, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. All right. Yeah. You want to play a little game? A little Four Nations game?
All right.
Build your ultimate Four Nations lineup. Pick one player from each row and at least one player per country. So you don't have the row. I should have uploaded the pictures, but I'm just going to name the guys. So there's three forwards, four guys in each line. Okay.
Okay.
To choose from, four guys in each line, three forwards, 2D, one goalie. So your ultimate Four Nations lineup. Okay. You have to pick at least one player from every country. Okay.
All right.
So, but there's six picks. So you can have two. There's only four countries and there's six picks. So you can technically have two guys from the same country and then two guys from just one line. This is just one line.
Okay. One line. All right.
So I'm going to give you the six lines. So there's three forward groups of four. There's 2D groups of four and there's one goalie group of four. So you have to pick at least one player from every country, but
just one player.
It has to be one player from every country, and you've got six picks total. So we'll do the first one, and we'll go in order here,
okay?
Because you have no idea who I'm gonna say, out of the four picks. But we'll do this. You pick your guy, I'll pick my guy, and then we'll see where our teams would be, or our lines would be. It's just one line. Plus a goalie would be at the end of it. Okay. So here's the first one. Ready?
Okay.
Here's the four choices: Canada, Connor McDavid; Finland, Mikko Rantanen; Sweden, William Nylander; USA, Austin Matthews. You can only pick one.
All right. Well, Connor McDavid.
Okay. McDavid for me. So that burns one Canada guy right away.
Yeah. But I mean, you got to pick
that. So we both pick McDavid. I would pick McDavid as well. Second forward line, second forward group. Ready? From Canada,
go
Nathan McKinnon. From Finland, Barkov. From Sweden, Philippe Forsberg. And from the U.S., Jack Eichel.
I'm going to take Barkov. I have to take a Finnish player. He's probably the best Finnish player.
Okay. I'm going to take McKinnon. So
so you burn your Canada.
Canada is done for me, but those are my guys.
I know McKinnon's better, but if I have to take a Finnish guy, that's the Finnish guy I'm going to
take. So our lineups are going to be different then. Okay.
If I have to take a Finnish guy.
So you've got McDavid and Barkov, and I've got McDavid and McKinnon so far. Okay. Let's move on to forward number three, Mitch Marner, Canada; Sebastian Aho, Finland; Jasper Pratt, Sweden; and Matthew Tkachuk, USA.
I'll take Tkachuk.
Oh, you're passing on Mitchie, eh?
Yeah, I'm passing on Mitch.
Okay, I will also take Tkachuk. I will also. That's my first.
And now I just need to pick one Swede.
That's right. That's right. So you've got a Canadian, a Finn, U.S.
Walk into a bar,
and you've still got three picks left, and only one of them has to be a Swede. I've got two Canadians and an American. I still need to pick a Swede and a Finn. So we're going to move to the defense here. Canada, Cale Makar. Finland, Esa Lindell. Sweden, Victor Hedman. USA, Zach Werenski, who is having a hell of a fucking year this year.
That's tough. I was kind of hoping to get Makar and Hedman, and then I could pick whoever in goal.
You still got two more picks left.
I have to pick either Makar or Hedman. That was my plan. Oh, God.
I'll start because I need a Swede. I'm going to take Victor Hedman. I can't take a Canadian, so I'm taking Hedman.
All right, I'm going to take. Oh God,
Cale Makar. I would take Makar if I didn't take MacKinnon and McDavid. I would take Makar, but I'm going to take Hedman.
All right, I'm going to take Makar.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. Okay, so now all I need is.
And I'll take whoever the Swede is next.
So you still need one Swede?
Yeah.
Okay. And I need one Finn. So here's the second defense pair. It's Josh Morrissey for Canada, Nico Mikkola for Finland, Rasmus Dahlin for Sweden, and McAvoy for the U.S.
Okay. I'll take Dahlin.
And I have to take a Finn here. You
take a Finnish goalie.
But I have the list in front of me. I know who I want in net, so I'm going to take Mikkola. So that leaves me to pick. I can pick anybody but a Canadian for the goalies, which is fine with me. So who did you pick? Rasmus Dahlin. I picked Mikkola. So here's the goalies.
Hellebuck.
It's Aiden Hill for Canada, UC Saros for Finland, Allmark for the Swedes, and USA Hellebuck. Obviously, it's Hellebuck for me.
Yeah, I'm taking Hellebuck.
Okay, so do you remember your team?
I got McDavid, Barkov. Who did I take on the other wing?
Tkachuk,
Makar, Dahlin, and Hellebuck.
Okay, good team. So I took McDavid, MacKinnon, Tkachuk, Hedman, Mikkola, Hellebuck.
Not bad.
Both good teams, but they put this out before they knew who was going to be like starting net. I think they thought these would be the four starters, which they're not, obviously. And speaking of that, let's just wind this baby up on a little goaltending talk. What are your thoughts here? Bennington, some good saves, some not surprised that he got the start because I thought they were going to Aiden Hill. I really did.
I did. I thought they were going to Aiden Hill as well. But I guess when it came down to it, they went with Binnington.
How much of this do you think has to do with Doug Armstrong, the GM of the St. Louis Blues, is the GM of Team Canada? Think that has anything to do with it?
It probably has a little bit to do with it. Like
remember, little politics, backdoor style?
No, I think it's just, remember back in the day, the Team Canada, when I think Pat Quinn was the GM and he took Curtis Joseph.
Yeah. Well, he started in the first game.
He started on the first game, but then...
they lost to Sweden.
And then he had to take him out. I think it was kind of the similar situation. Like, well, we'll start him first, even though like you're taking a big chance because you can't lose two games or you're done. And no. You only play three. But he did, like he was a Grant Fuhr. Didn't he have a Grant Fuhr game? He let in some softies, but when it mattered in overtime, man,
you're right. When it mattered, but that 3-1 lead evaporated real quick on two goals that went right fucking through. Yeah. Okay.
And you don't know, right? Like Aiden Hill might have won that game 3-1. Like maybe he doesn't give up two softies. You win the regulation, you get the 3 points. But it kind of works out, right? Because if they start Aiden Hill on Saturday, no one's going to be like, "What? Bennington was so good."
Okay, no, but like because of how good he did play in overtime and they got the win, what do you do? Do you give Aiden Hill a a big time game against the States? Do you put Binnington in there again, or do you give Hill a game?
I think you should give Hill a game.
I'm not opposed to that. But then what do you do? Like,
then you call Logan Thompson and you say, hey, what are you up to, buddy?
I was gonna say, where's this guy? Like, he was the best goalie in the league. Well, other than Hellebuck, he's just been winning.
Best Canadian goalie,
but just not even on the trip, right? So doesn't so make weird. Any sense. I don't know. Let us know what you think in the comments, guys. Who should be playing net for this fucking team? Do you go back to Binnington against the States on Saturday? Do you give Aiden Hill a shot and just reevaluate after that? I'm not sure what to do. I don't know. Like, maybe there's confidence there for Binnington now, so you just roll it. Like, I guess I'm okay with what they do either way, I guess. But if Binnington shits the bed on Saturday and they lose to the States, then all of a sudden you got a game on whenever it is, Monday or Tuesday, against Finland that Hill's probably going to play, which is like you're a must win.
Let's face it, Sweden came on in the second period. They had nothing going in the first period, but they came on in the second period, mm-hmm. and they came on in the third. And
they popped a couple right through.
And they really didn't get that many chances or shots that were like very quality. They turned it on and made a game of it, but the States are really going to bring it.
Oh,
they're going to get more shots and they're going to get more chances. Yeah. And if he lets in two more softies, it ain't going to be good. So, like, personally, I don't think he played. I don't think he showed me enough that he has to have the net on.
No,
Saturday.
I don't. I agree. I don't know what to do. I'm honestly lost at, like, I don't know what they should do on Saturday night. I'm not sure who they should put in net. I really don't know.
That's up to Coops.
I guess I would be okay with either, but like, I kind of wanted to see what Aiden Hill can do. He's a big fucking guy. And I just think he is, I don't know. I don't want to say he gives them a better chance to win, but I think he might have a better chance of letting in, like not letting in a soft one.
We'll see. Anyway.
All right. That's it. Game one in the books. We'll be back after game two. And man, I can't wait for that one. But all right, Chatty, let's wrap it up.
All right. Listen, everybody, for the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button right there. If you're on the shitter on your phone, just use that one hand you got free. Hit that subscribe, hit that like button, leave a comment. And you can email us, tipinpodcast@gmail.com. Once this Four Nations face-off is over, if you got a rant about it, send it in. Email the tipinmaplepodcast@gmail.com, a video or audio recording of yourself. You can also DM us on social media, and we'll play it right here on the podcast. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
Saturday night in Montreal, Canada versus Team USA. I cannot wait for that one. It should be an absolute classic. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Go Canada, go. Huge game in Montreal on Saturday. We'll catch you guys later.
You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.